Well, those who are here regularly on Sundays at Bretton Woods know that sometimes my sermon titles are a little odd. And finally, it has bled into Christmas Eve. What is he talking about? Flowers and grenades. We'll get there. We will get there. The passage that Anson just wonderfully read for us speaks of a shoot or a branch that will come up from the stump of Jesse. It's a shoot that we think of as Jesus. We read this passage each year at this time, and we think about the stump. When you see the stump of a tree, what are you thinking? Well, that tree is gone. That tree is dead. The tree is over. But our hope lies in this shoot, this little branch, this little sapling that is shooting right out of the stump. Something new is taking place. Something new is taking place where the old used to be. It has revolutionized everything. And so I wanted to take this image and look at it in four different ways, apply it four different ways with four new pictures and applications of the stump of Jesse. And the first is this is actually two photographs side by side, two different angles. This is in East Lansing. Some of you know Marlene Soderstrom, member of our church here. This is in her house, and this is not in her house, this is her driveway and garage. But this here, many of you will be able to recognize as what? A corn stalk. There is a corn stalk there which she did not plant. She did not plant a corn stalk. She did not plan on growing a single corn stalk next to her garage. But there, it's just, you know, just in case you needed one or two stalks of corn this year, it just came up accidentally out of nowhere in a place that you would not imagine, just right next to the garage between the hosta and the little bush. It's an image of the unexpected shooting up in a place that you would not expect. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's fairly unexpected, wait till the next one. The next picture, we'll get to the picture in a second. I want to describe it first. There was an elementary school that now serves as a charter high school for young mothers and pregnant teens, and a particular room in that school has been put to a very peculiar use. That's right. This is a school now, as I said, for young mothers and pregnant teens. Only women attend this school, and they thought, well, we have all these men's rooms. What are we going to do? We're teaching them gardening. Why not use every available space that we have? So they planted plants. This is not, I assume this is not for eating. This is, I don't think anybody wants to eat anything that came out of these, but they have planted, right, I'm not even going to use the word. The school's grounds also have a 4-acre farm that teaches the teens about gardening and giving them life skills. The next picture is the reason our message tonight is entitled Flowers and Grenades. It's a picture of a Palestinian village named Bilin. It's very near the city of Ramallah in the West Bank. And what the residents have taken to doing there is collecting hundreds of spent tear gas grenades, collecting them and using them as flower pots. They took something that was very literally designed and created to destroy. Again, these are for tear gas. They're designed to destroy, designed to more to contain crowds, to create panic, to create all sorts of chaos, to sometimes probably keep people in line, whatever. But these are grenades that the people have said, let's turn them into a flower pot. The Old Testament In the Old Testament, the Lord commands his people to take their swords and beat them into plowshares. And I think, what a modern day application of turning grenades into flower pots. The message that these people say is that life can spring from death. Is that not true? Is it not true that life can spring from death? Do we see that in our lives? When we look at a stump, we see death. A tree stump. Oh, I wonder what that tree used to look like. I wonder how tall it was. When we look at a spent grenade, we think, oh, I wonder what damage that caused. There's different ways to look at the world. And Jesus has shown us a way to look at the world that sees nothing beyond hope. The fourth picture was taken last week, right here in town. A few of our friends got together at the Hill Center and packed weekend survival kits, over 1,300 of them, for Lansing school children. It's a program that runs all the time, and you can go volunteer there if you'd like. You can come with us. Ask me about it if you're interested. But I think that every selfless act, every act of taking something that looks like it's in bad shape, oh my gosh, there's so much poverty, there's so many problems in our city, when we, instead of just being sad about it, take action and serve, I think we plant flowers in spent grenades. I think every brave time we step in and forgive somebody who has wronged us, even though we run the risk of being hurt yet again in offering that forgiveness, I think we are planting flowers in places that normally would be reserved for death. Anytime somebody from the military comes home and surprises their loved ones for the holidays, you guys seen these videos, or maybe you've had it done to you in person. There was one, I think, last night at a NBA game where a woman was taken out to the floor and just given a jersey, and she was like, oh, cool, a jersey. And then her husband popped out of a giant box right next to her and, you know, was wearing his uniform, right? I think these sort of moments are when you take, oh my gosh, this is going to be the saddest Christmas I'm going to have to celebrate it without. And it brings and breathes life. It is a shoot of life coming out of death. Every time you make a donation to a worthy cause, like many of you just did when we passed this plate around, anytime you make a simple donation, it may not feel like much, but it is a shoot, a spring of hope coming out of places that are normally reserved for death. Any pursuit of peace in the midst of the shouting contests that are happening all around us all the time, every time you step in and offer some love, some understanding, some care, perhaps a shoot grows. It's a beautiful thing to think of Jesus as this flower, this plant, growing up in a place that should only be reserved for death. And when we live our lives in such a way, to model our lives after Jesus, to live selflessly, to care for others, to serve others, when we offer surprising acts of light and joy into the darkest spaces that we can find, we are carrying on the work of the Messiah, of Jesus, who reached through a dead old stump, the dead old stump of this world that was so broken and hopeless and in need. And we carry on that work and we breathe that same life. We plant the flowers of Christ inside the very grenades of this cruel world. That is the hope. That is the peace. That is the joy. That is the love of Christ embodied. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. We just sang in that song. Christ is alive. That is what we celebrate. He is alive and he is with us. You are not alone. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your life. We thank you that in this season, we can come together and remember that perhaps life is not all about us, that it is about something bigger. It is about you and your work. It is about making room and space for extended family. It is about making room and space for neighbors. It is about making room and space for even, yes, our enemies. You have shown us the way. You have shown us that there is no stump too dead to be as devoid of life. Almighty God, you breathe hope into all things. And we praise you this night. And we praise you tomorrow as we celebrate your birth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, our final song together has been for many years. It goes before me, and I don't know how far back it goes here at this church. But we are going to sing Silent Night. It'll be a candlelight hymn tonight. I'm going to invite David forward to begin picking it. And I also am going to invite my daughter Addison forward, and she is going to share a little story about Silent Night, because it is a very special anniversary of Silent Night, which she will tell you about in a moment. And as she reads the story and as Dave plays softly, I will begin the light. And the light, again, it comes from this Christ candle, which we've been waiting to light. Everybody's been wanting to light this white candle for 4 weeks, but now we get to finally do it because Christ is here. We celebrate Christ, the newborn King, today. So we're going to pass his light from person to person. But a reminder, as we pass his light, that a lit candle stays like this. Okay? The lit candles stay like this, because if you do this, you know what happens? We got wax to clean up, okay? The lit candles stay like this. The unlit candles come in at an angle and receive the fire. That is how Jesus likes this to work. So, as we sing together, Silent Night, and as we hear this story, may the light of Christ shine in each one of us.
Exactly 200 years ago, on December 24th, 1818, Joseph Moore, the curate of parish in Oberndorf, Austria, gave a poem that he written to a friend of his. Franz Gruber, who is the choir master and organist in the church, he asked Minister Gruber if he would write the music for his poem for two solo voices and a guitar accompaniment. Because the organ was broken, he desperately wanted music to be a part of their Christmas Eve service. Mr. Gruber wrote the melody to a song which has been the most beloved of Christmas carols, Style Not, in English, Silent Night.
Calm, all is bright. one virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
We stand together carefully.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar.
Christ the Savior is born.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
If you're sitting in the front, I do encourage you to turn around and just take a look at the beauty of this lit up sanctuary. The light of Christ shines bright and ever brighter. The light of Christ shines in you and I when we live humbly and walk in Christ's ways. So may the Spirit of Christmas fill us, the Spirit of Christ walk through us, and may we all have a merry Christmas. Amen. Go in peace.